from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. The race for San Francisco District Attorney is down to two candidates. The incumbent Terrence Hallinan and challenger Kamala Harris. Will hear from both of them as they go head-to-head in the hour ahead, which also will include your calls and your emails after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. The race for San Francisco District Attorney is down to two candidates, the incumbent Terrence Hallinan and challenger Kamala Harris. We'll hear from both of them in this hour. And with the elimination of attorney and former prosecutor Bill Fazio from the race, it has come down to either one or the other. Terrence Hallinan is seeking a third term. And he is also seeking it against, as I said, Kamala Harris, who is deputy city attorney and former Alameda prosecutor. On December 9th, the voters will decide on which of those two ought to be the city's next district attorney. Let me welcome both candidates, Terrence Hallinan, Kamala Harris. Good morning, Michael. And let me begin, as is our custom around here, with the incumbent, Terrence Hallinan. Terrible tragedy recently. 15-year-old young man by the name of Deshaun Dawson was shot on Muni. Essentially, it's been put forward by your opponent here that this represents, in sum, a poor record on gun violence. It hurts San Francisco children, and the record is a poor one. And you say to that what?
Well, and the actual reality is that San Francisco is probably the toughest county in the state of California on guns. We charge guns invariably. We don't drop those charges as part of a package deal. If a juvenile has a gun, he ends up pleading guilty to a felony. It's a juvenile offense. But we're tough on guns, and San Francisco has a good record on gun violence. And I've been that since I was a member of the Board of Supervisors and passing gun legislation, attempting to curb the use of guns and particularly automatic weapons. Certainly that case that you're talking about just was a heartbreaking tragedy. Wonderful, beautiful young guy who gets shot in something he's got nothing to do with. But as far as the district attorney's office's responsibility for getting guns off the street, I'm not the least bit ashamed of our policy on that because we are tough on guns.
And we'll go right to Kamala Harris on that.
Well, first of all, Michael, thank you for having us on the show, and thank your listeners for being interested in this important office. Gun violence is a growing issue in San Francisco. We know that in the last couple of years we've seen an increase of robberies with the use of the gun by 10% and aggravated assault with the use of firearms by 20%. So it is a growing issue and concern, and it is most recently evidenced by not one, which was the horrible case of Deshaun Dawson, but three cases of firearms on Muni involving youth. And I believe we are at the state of a crisis in San Francisco, which is that we have young people killing each other and shooting each other and using these lethal weapons. I have said from the very beginning that I will have no tolerance policy when it comes to the use of firearms and guns. You know, it is not like someone is possessing a joint. They're holding a gun, and a gun kills. And we need to have a policy in San Francisco that we won't tolerate serious and violent crime, in particular when it is killing a lot of very young and capable lives who need to have services and need to be protected, and their lives need to have value. And
can you tell me what you're going to do in the little time remaining for your response here?
Sure. One of the things that I'm going to do immediately is set a policy, a very explicit policy in place that indicates that when we have crimes that are charged with the use, possession, or possession of a gun, the illegal use or possession of a gun, that we will have a no-tolerance policy, which means that those cases will not be entitled to probation.
You've also charged in your campaign that there's a backlog of murder cases, and you've put the number at about 50 awaiting trial, and Jim Hammer from the DA's office said it's closer to 40, and they are relentlessly trying to clear their backlog. Let's get you on record on this.
Sure. As you know, Mike Hennessy, who is the sheriff of San Francisco, endorsed me recently. And one of the reasons he endorsed me, as he stated, is because we have an absolute backlog of cases sitting, waiting trial, defendants who some are waiting and have been sitting in the county jail for 4 or more years awaiting trial. And it is because of the district attorney's inability or incapacity to prosecute those cases that we see them just languishing. And what we know and understand is the result of that, the immediate and direct result of that, is that over a period of time, witnesses' memories begin to fade. Witnesses die or they move out of town. And the ability of us to successfully prosecute those cases is diminished because we are letting those cases languish and just sit around and not be tried. 40, 50 homicide cases, you know, each one represents a life, Michael. And when we have that many homicide cases sitting around gathering dust in the district attorney's office, we have to say that it's time for change, because that is not the appropriate way for us to have to handle those cases. Those cases should be swiftly and immediately prosecuted, because the people whose lives are represented by those cases are people who had value. And certainly the people who remain, their families, mourn and want to see justice. And they are being denied justice because those cases are just sitting around because I guess they're not high profile enough to immediately give resources and attention to. And I think that the priorities are misplaced and should be redirected to say that when people and individuals take the life of another human being in the city and county of San Francisco, there is value. We will give it the highest priority and we will give it attention. And what I can tell you is that when I sit with the mothers of those young men mostly who have been killed, they say to me, Kamala, why is it that people think we don't want consequences in our community? They do, and they are entitled to have those consequences occur.
District Attorney Helen Ann, we go to you now on this essentially justice denied issue or justice too
slow.
Yeah,
we do have a backlog on murder cases because we don't plea bargain murder cases. That is to say they go to trial. So those people sit around until we can get the case to trial. San Francisco doesn't have a huge number of courts compared to other counties and compared to our population and the crime rate here. So it does take time. Those people are in custody, and we're not going to plea bargain those out as voluntary manslaughters or something just to get rid of them and reduce our caseload. If you kill somebody in San Francisco, you're going to prison for a long, long period of time. And we're going to try that case. We have an 85% conviction rate on those murder cases. We're satisfied with that. Hammer's the head of the homicide unit. I've increased the number of homicide prosecutors from 3 to 5 since I've taken office, so that we can keep moving those. I do feel strongly that murder cases should go to trial, that people who kill somebody else should spend a lifetime sentence in prison.
Let me follow that up with another question, actually something Kamala Harris mentioned about her backing, getting backing by Sheriff Hennessy, getting his endorsement and also getting the endorsement, one might add, of the police. And what would you say to the public who looks at something like those endorsements and says, why isn't the district attorney getting support from the sheriff and the police?
Well, the sheriff, he supported my opponent one time, then he supported me. Now he's supporting another opponent. That had to do with a fight over budget issues and whether he wanted to close one of the jails, and I was opposed to that, so he, you know, got mad at me about that. That's just budgetary issues in the big city. As far as the police go, I know the executive board of the Police Officers Association, I understand, is backing my opponent. I believe they believe she will be easier on police misconduct than I've been, and, you know, it's just a sad, tough part of this job that you have to oversee the police department to make sure that they obey the law as well as enforce the law. The head of the Police Officers Association has criticized me for the number of police officers I brought charges against for misconduct. Everybody knows about the Fajita Gate case and the beatings on Union Street, which resulted in the introduction of Proposition H in the last election, which passed, which I'm really looking forward to a big change taking place in the police department over the next year that I want to be part of, that can help make this police department more responsive and community serving and more concerned about the neighborhoods and less just a vehicle of the mayor's policies.
Go to a response from Kamala Harris.
Sure. I think that we should not insult Mike Hennessy to suggest that he is placing the weight of his name and reputation on my candidacy because of some fight over money with the with Terrence. The reality is Mike Hennessy, as I'm sure your listeners know, has been nationally acclaimed over decades for the progressive work he has done with law enforcement, with rehabilitation of offenders, and with compassion toward people who have been charged with crime. And he has endorsed my candidacy because, as he articulated quite well, we are seeing an erosion in the criminal justice system in terms of the responsibility of the DA's office. We are seeing an absolute neglect of cases that should be given attention and resources, those cases that are homicide cases, that are serious and violent cases. And instead, we've had a district attorney's office that has prioritized politics over professionalism. As it relates to the support that I've received from the police officers, I can tell you, Michael, and you know, I was a strong proponent of Proposition H. I absolutely believe in police accountability. And to have the support of law enforcement and the legal community, I think, speaks volumes for the need for change in the district attorney's office.
Let me go to another direct question for you, Kamala Harris. In terms of your campaign, there's been concern about campaign finance law violations. There's also been concern about lack of experience. What would you tell the voters and what would you tell the public to allay those concerns?
Sure. I mean, there are two issues. In terms of campaign finance, we have reached a settlement with the Ethics Commission. That happened early in the campaign. There was a resolution, as the San Francisco Chronicle said. It is best that we have someone in leadership who takes responsibility and moves forward. One of the problems that we have seen, and when I talk to voters on the streets, one of the concerns they have is that Terrence blames everybody for his failures instead of taking responsibility. I think taking responsibility is a sign of leadership. In terms of experience, Michael, you know I've been on this show many times. I have been actively involved in my profession as a lawyer. I was trained in the Alameda County District Attorney's Office, which is considered one of the best in the country. I was the managing attorney of the Career Criminal Unit of the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. I have been a managing attorney in the San Francisco City Attorney's Office. I am supported, and we have to ask this question, and I'm sure your listeners would wonder, why is it that every bar association that has endorsed in the district attorney's race has endorsed my candidacy and not Terrence's? It is because they know of my work, they know of my experience, and they know of the need for change that reflects professionalism and leadership over what is essentially a public law office.
And we go with Terrence Hallinan.
Yes, in campaign finance, definitely. I think that a person who can't manage their own campaign finance matters reflects certainly on whether they can handle the district attorney's office. I mean, we're talking about $600,000. Why has Willie Brown gone out and helped her raise this tremendous amount of money? What is his interest in controlling the district attorney's office after he leaves office? Well, I think that question kind of begs the answer to it, because certainly, in my opinion, he has an interest in having a friend in the district attorney's office after he leaves office, as opposed to myself, who brought some 49 cases against people working in the city government who've been stealing money from the city or for its various departments. And experience does count. Experience is an important thing. You know, I've been in running this district attorney's office for 8 years now. I've learned a lot by virtue of it, and I'm looking forward to spending four more years continuing to run it. I haven't had failures. The crime rate in San Francisco is the lowest in the whole of any county in the state of California. Violent crime is down 60% since I took office.
So you would say what to those who have argued that the office is inefficient, it's poorly managed, it's even incompetent?
Well, I would say that's not true. I mean, my opponent says that, and I keep saying, well, where does that come from? All people in my office work hard. Granted, we're down like everybody in the city is. We've got 120 positions, and we've only been allowed to fill 109 of them, and that 120 is a small number to begin with. San Francisco does not put a lot of resources into the criminal justice system as some other counties do. But I think we're very effective and efficient. We've got good conviction rates. I've certainly picked out areas like domestic violence that I wanted to concentrate on and increase the conviction rate, and gone from 2 to 12 prosecutors in domestic violence and had an impact on the city. I've violent crime we're really tough on. Yes, we are big on diversions, but I'm not ashamed of diversions. I think for nonviolent offenders, particularly drug people, that they should be put into diversion programs, that the recidivism rate on diversion programs is 12% over the succeeding 3 years, whereas people go to prison within a year. 53% of them are reoffending. Within a year and a half, 70% of them are reoffending. So not only does diversion work in terms of the reducing the reoffense rate of the people who go through the diversion programs, it saved the city some $50 million since I took office. It makes sense in every which way. So I think that key of being tough on violent crime and using effective diversion programs for nonviolent offenders to get them out of the criminal justice system is the reason why San Francisco is experiencing such a sharp drop in crime. Drop in crime, and particularly a drop in violent crime. As I said, 60% drop in violent crime, close to 50% in overall crime.
Then we go to a response from Kamala Harris.
Michael, across the country, crime is declining. But the fact is that in San Francisco last year, we had 12,000 arrests for felony crimes. And in this county, we only had 29% conviction rate. We have the lowest conviction rate for violent crime in the state. And there is no excuse for that. And one of the disservices that I believe Terrence is doing is to suggest to your listeners that they have to choose between diversion and successful prosecution of serious and violent crime. It's a false choice. The reality is that we can have a district attorney's office that knows how to effectively prosecute serious and violent crime and have in that same district attorney's office an office that prioritizes diverting and rehabilitating nonviolent offenders. We've got neither. And we need change.
Talking to the two candidates for the Office of District Attorney, Kamala Harris and Terrence Hallinan. We're going to have a few more questions to each candidate. But before I do that, let me give out the number in case you would like to join us with questions or comments. You're welcome to do that now locally at 415-863-2476. Again, the 415 area code number is 863-2476. Or you can join us wherever you're listening to the forum program at 866-SF-FORUM. That's 866, toll-free, 866-733-6786, and you can email us as well. Our email address here is forum@kqed.org. There has been Kamala Harris.
Can I comment on that conviction rate, Michael? Because that's really bandied around a lot, and there's a lot of misunderstanding.
You can comment on it if Kamala Harris can comment back on you from what you say. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, what I'm going to say is the conviction rate, as the Chronicle poses it, as my opponent poses it, is a conviction rate that's based on arrests, on charges and arrests, not on cases filed. That would be like getting somebody's batting average on the basis of the number of pitches thrown to them, the number of times they're at bat for its own peculiar reasons. San Francisco Police Department doesn't screen any of their cases before they send them to the district attorney. They are well known for booking a whole huge number of charges. Those things end up making your conviction rate look bad because all those charges don't end up in convictions. And yes, it does. When people go to diversion, that does. That's a lost case from the conviction rate. But if you take the conviction rate based on cases filed, which the FBI uses, then my office is in the middle of the pack. We do better than Oakland. We do better than Los Angeles. We don't do as good as San Jose and San Diego.
We go to Kamala Harris to respond.
I'm sure your listeners are wondering what is going on with all of these different stats. Whichever way you compute the statistics, be it based on the arrests or be it based on the cases charged, San Francisco has the lowest number of convictions for serious and violent crime of any county in the state of California. And, by the way, of those 12,000 felonies that I mentioned earlier, last year, only 400 were diverted. We need to divert more people into successful programs, and we need to prosecute those cases that are serious and violent felonies, including the growing number of homicide cases that are sitting around gathering dust. And whichever statistics you choose to rely on, I would suggest that let's go to an independent source, which is the California Department of Justice, and you can see there that San Francisco has the lowest rate of conviction. And what we have to say is that each one of those cases, those violent cases, represents a victim who deserves to have a district attorney's office that is competent and that is professional. And let's be clear, I'm not running for public defender. We need in our city to have a district attorney who recognizes her responsibility for making sure that the consequences occur for serious and violent crime.
All right, I need to ask you, because we're going to go to a break and then we're going to bring our callers in on this, and I wanted to ask you a question, Kamala, concerning concern that's been raised in your campaign, and the district attorney alluded to it before in one of his responses, that you would not necessarily be zealous in fighting some of the corruption that is perceived to be in city government, that you're indebted, in fact, to too many people in city government, including the present mayor, Willie Brown, and that therefore you wouldn't do what needs to be done. And you say to that.
Do you want me to respond now?
Yes, please.
I think that I have made it very clear that I intend to convict those who are guilty of corruption, guilty of misuse of public funds, guilty of violating the public trust that they've been invested with when they receive the positions that are responsible for making sure that people in our community receive the services that they pay taxes and deserve to receive. But, you know, when we talk about corruption, since we are talking about the district attorney's race, let's also talk about what we know to be fact and what's happening right now in the current district attorney's office under Terrence's administration. In the last couple of months, we've heard of four cases involving the district attorney's investigators who have been charged with and accused of sexual harassment, sexual assault, and misuse of public funds under this district attorney's administration. And I ask you, Michael, first we have to start with cleaning our own house. What is Terrence Hallinan doing about the corruption and misuse of funds in his own office? And next, I ask you to think about if there is any hint of some public official breaking the law, should not the district attorney immediately investigate those cases and do something about uncovering what is essentially and appears to be corruption and fraud in his own house? And since the beginning of this campaign, many, many months ago, I have indicated that I will set up a public integrity desk in the district attorney's office that will be dedicated to dealing with investigating and prosecuting cases involving corruption by any public official, be it Terrence Hallinan or anyone else in this city.
We got a response from district attorney.
Best defense is a good offense, but that really takes the breath away from me. Knowing people in my DAI have not done that, when somebody does something wrong, I take action on it, and I have not hesitated to fire people or discipline them where it's appropriate. But corruption is a good point, and I think it's something worth paying attention to, particularly when you consider that this mayor is leaving behind him the most corrupt administration in the city's history, within my period of history, which goes back quite a few years. I mean, when I say I've filed charges, I've prosecuted 49 people in the last 3 years for public corruption. I'm talking about police officers selling reports to insurance cappers. I'm talking about firemen charging money for moving fire hydrants, which they do for free, and then putting it in a bank account. I'm talking about people in the city attorney's office settling cases for non-existent plaintiffs and then keeping the money themselves, and on and on and on. It's a terrible situation, and those corruption cases don't just fall in your lap. You're not going to be satisfied by just prosecuting cases that are brought to you. You have to go after those cases.
All right, and I have to go to a break, but I want to thank both of you for this first half hour. The next half hour of the program is going to be pretty much the listeners, and they're throwing questions at you of whatever their particular desire to do so in terms of content, and we'll have emails as well. Again, our number here locally, 415-863-2476, or our toll-free number, 866-SF-FORUM. You can also email us, forum at kqed.org. We'll be back with Terrence Hallinan and Kamala Harris, the two candidates who one of them wants to be the next district attorney, City of San Francisco. I'm Michael Krasny.
Local underwriting is provided by Earth Justice, the national nonprofit environmental law firm working to preserve wild places, clean water, and healthy air, because the earth needs a good lawyer. www.earthjustice.org.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and getting some serious contentiousness here off the air about the item that appeared in the Matir Ross column about a disagreement on whether or not Kamala Harris. I want to go to our callers, but let's at least air this. The item, as I recall it, was that you didn't want Kimberly Newsom to be hired, according to Kimberly Newsom. You denied that that took place. Now we've got the district attorney saying that you told him not to hire Kimberly Newsom. So let's air it. What actually happened?
I have a great deal of respect for Kimberly Newsom and her work as an attorney, and I look forward to working with her in the district attorney's office, Michael.
Never said that you didn't want her to be hired, in other words.
I never said that.
And you disagreed?
She absolutely told me not to hire her, and then when I said that I intended to hire her, she forbade me to hire her. I went home and told my wife about it. I thought it was so funny that one of my employees in my office would forbid me to hire somebody who I wanted to hire. And, you know, I don't know anything about what the background between her and Kimberly is. It was sort of none of my business, and I was amazed that it even became an issue.
1 minute response from you on this, Kamal?
I think that Terrence is obviously trying to hold on to his job and is throwing a lot of things out there to muddy the waters and distract your listeners and the voters from the real issues presented by this district attorney's race. The district attorney's office has as its charge and its responsibility to prosecute serious and violent crime. There are a lot of victims of crime out here in the city who deserve to have a district attorney's office that puts the politics in the trash can and instead deals with the reality, which is that there should be consequences when young men and women are being killed in the Bayview. There should be consequences for the fact that we have women who are being raped, we have children who are being molested, and those cases aren't being prosecuted. Moreover, there are responsibilities that the district attorney has to do something about the fact that the juvenile justice system in San Francisco is in complete disrepair and that we are not doing what we can do to rehabilitate mostly youth of color out of the juvenile justice system and put them in a place where they can be productive and enjoy the life that our own children enjoy. And those are the issues that are represented by this district attorney's race, and I believe those are the issues that your listeners are interested in hearing
about.
And
just Sherry Hallinan, you get a 1 minute response.
There you go again. The best defense is a good offense. I mean, I know nothing about the history or background of him, of Kamala and Kimberly. I just mentioned that happened. That's actual something that happened, and what it's about, I don't really know. The things that she then goes off on are not true. We are very good at prosecuting violent crime. I give that a high priority. We concentrate our efforts on violent crime, and we try to divert the nonviolent offenders. Juvenile crime has dropped 44% since I took office in San Francisco. Juvenile homicide is down 85%. Things are not out of control at the Youth Guidance Center. Things are well under control. We've just finally got this diversion program put in at Youth Guidance Center for juvenile prostitutes and young women that is going to help them turn their lives around and really be a positive thing.
We'll go to our callers. And our first caller is Ron from Nob Hill. Good morning.
Hi. Some burglars are career criminals, and they don't get caught the first time that they try a burglary. In fact, after several burglaries, then let's say somebody gets caught, prosecuted, goes to jail, gets out, more burglaries, gets caught again. How many times does someone have to get convicted of burglary before you would impose the three strikes to stop his crime wave?
A question specific about the three strikes law and burglary. Kamala Harris?
Well, I think that Ron is bringing up just a problem that a lot of San Franciscans are seeing and concerned about, which is that we've got revolving doors in the criminal justice system, and the DA should take responsibility for stopping those revolving doors of crime and criminals. And when we see people who repetitively commit felonies, there should be a consequence, again, for that. People have a right to live in their homes and come home from a long day of work and know that their property is intact. People have a right to be able to go to sleep at night feeling safe that no one in the middle of the night is going to open a window and enter their home and steal from them.
And what is the consequence?
Currently, if you look at the current statistics and if you look at what is general knowledge about the way that we're dealing with serious crime in the city, they're not being convicted.
Terrence Allen?
Yeah, burglaries are a tough case. Burglaries are a serious crime, if not a violent crime, and my policy is I use three strikes for violent criminals. I do also look at it for burglaries. I think burglaries are extremely dangerous occurrences. We tried several of them. The defense attorneys managed to get into the jury that this is a three strikes case, and we found that if it's a simple burglary, juries are reluctant to convict on, and sometimes we not only lose the three strike, we lose the whole package. So what we do is we look at the burglaries to see whether there is another element to them. And for example, hot prowls, a burglary when there's somebody actually in the house, that we will charges a third strike, a burglary where the person is carrying a gun or a deadly weapon with them when they're in the house, or they threaten or assault the resident of it. Those are different kind of situations. But no, we do include burglary in the three strikes, although we do it cautiously.
Let me go to more of our callers. And Joe, you're on. Good morning. Welcome to the forum program.
Is this me?
That's you. If you're Joe, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. Yeah, I'd like to ask either of the candidates if they'd be in favor of going beyond Prop H and dissolving the current Office of Citizen Complaints, because I think the citizens have more than a right to complain about the police department, and maybe establishing a commission that's elected directly by the people that has absolute power over the police department. And I mean absolute power.
Terrence Allen.
Yes, well, I mean, there's no question that we have a big problem in San Francisco with a police department that refuses to police itself. And this is not a new phenomenon. It goes back many years. What can we do about it? I think Proposition H is a valuable reform. In fact, I actually wrote to the Board of Supervisors on the part about expanding the commission and diversifying the commission as one way to help get more oversight over the police department. The Office of Civilian Complaints, I've heard a lot of complaints about them. They have, to be honest, they've been kind of hindered by the fact that the rules they were operating under made it very hard for them to take action. The chief of police could just do what you could consider a pocket veto. That is to say, when he didn't agree with a case they referred to him, he could just refuse to do anything about it for a year, and the case would be over. Now, with the new reforms, they will be able to take a case directly to the new police commission. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's see how that works. If that doesn't work, I'll be for taking a look at something else.
And we'll have a response from Kamala Harris. Same question.
As I've said earlier, I was in favor of Proposition H, and I'm absolutely in favor of police accountability. What we have seen in our city is that it's only during this election cycle that we've had a district attorney who has taken on issues of concern that have been longstanding issues of concern about certain conduct by certain police officers. What we need is a district attorney in San Francisco who takes the job seriously, both in terms of successfully prosecuting serious and violent crime, but also maintaining and, in this case, restoring integrity in the criminal justice system. The DA is, in essence, the chief law enforcement officer and should assume the responsibility for the integrity of all of law enforcement, which means making sure that we do, as district attorneys, what we can and should do to provide early tracking to figure out when we have officers and police officers who may be veering off the road and being involved in conduct of concern, and doing that early on so that we can prevent those high-scale and those high-stakes issues that come up when we see what we're concerned about happening in terms of cover-ups in the police department. We've not had that type of leadership from the district attorney. And we also need to have a district attorney who provides the work that we need in terms of training of the police department and, again, really requiring accountability throughout the term in office, not just during an election cycle.
Let me thank the caller, and I want to move on to more of our calls. Before I do that, I have an email from Matt, one of our listeners, who wants to know about enforcing marijuana laws, whether or not the city DA has the authority, and would either of you try to alter existing enforcement? Begin with you, Kamala Harris.
I am in support, unequivocally in support of medical marijuana. I am in support of Proposition S. I'm happy to say that the author of Proposition S, Assemblyman Mark Leno, has been a great supporter of my candidacy. I have personally known people who have only received benefit from medical marijuana when they have been absolutely suffering from illness. And I believe it is the responsibility of the District Attorney of San Francisco, and it will be my responsibility to protect and enforce the spirit of Proposition S.
Terrence Hallinan?
Yes, well, I'm in the area of medical marijuana. I've been a proponent of that since I was on the Board of Supervisors, and I'm a proponent because I know that it works. I've seen it work. I've visited these clubs. I've seen how they operate. I've seen the people who are there whose suffering is alleviated by it. And I'm real proud of the job that San Francisco has been able to do in terms of making marijuana or bringing about a situation where marijuana can be available to people who have a doctor's recommendation and whose suffering is alleviated by it. And I've said repeatedly that I will not prosecute anybody who uses medical marijuana in the city and county of San Francisco. When you get to marijuana, non-medical marijuana, you get to a different situation because we don't have a Proposition 215. But I believe in that area also that to consider marijuana a felony offense is inappropriate. I do believe that the present situation where people receive up to $100 fines is a good way to handle it.
And we go to more of your calls. And Steve, thanks for waiting. You're joining us on Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. Two questions for Mr. Hallinan. The first, with respect to the residential burglary question, how many people that received convictions for residential burglaries, hot, prowl, or otherwise, are actually doing life in prison for convictions received in San Francisco on those charges? And under three strikes. And then the second question with respect to the disparity between arrests and convictions, what in 8 years has been done by Mr. Hallinan or anyone in his office to improve the training and standards of the police department so that that discrepancy between arrests and convictions can meet the standards, whatever they may be, of the DA's office since he is the chief law enforcement officer of the city and county?
Well, the residential burglaries, there are individuals who are doing very long sentences for residential burglaries. There have been a couple of three strikes convictions. I don't use three strikes a lot. I've used three strikes 19 times in the 8 years that I've been district attorney. And those 19 cases are cases where there's no question that person is going to be a threat to the public if they get out on the streets. I don't use three strikes. Pardon me. For nonviolent offenses, I don't use it for drugs, as the previous district attorney did. I think life in prison is a long time, and that should only be for somebody who is really a violent person committing violent crimes. As far as arrests and convictions, we do work with the police. We have people in the police academy. I've worked with three chiefs of police now about the refusal of the San Francisco Police Department to use a provision called 849B, which is where a weak case is discharged or is thrown out by the police department before ever going to the district attorney's office. In San Francisco, unlike other counties, all cases, all arrests are referred to the district attorney's office, and it's our decision to make whether they're a good or a bad case. That's okay with me, but it means that a whole lot of cases that in other counties like Alameda County would be thrown out by the district attorney are not thrown out. They reach us, and we have to make that decision. I've discussed that with the police, that it would be in everybody's best interest if they screen cases before they decided whether or not to send them to the district attorney. I just seem unable to make progress. It's a long-standing issue. We do work with the police. We do train people. We have people working in the academy. I have a great district attorney's office, and they are among the most respected DAs in the state of California by other counties who are constantly seeking our DAs to come lecture them. And we do work with the police department and lecture them and meet with them and bring them up to date on things.
All right. I want to go to a caller as a question for Kamala Harris. Well, let's hear you respond to that. Okay. I was just going to go to another question for you from a listener, but please.
Michael, I think we probably all know, and your listeners certainly do, that in San Francisco, we have at best a hostile relationship between the San Francisco District Attorney's Office and the San Francisco Police Department. We need, in San Francisco, to have a District Attorney's Office that knows how to work with the police department but still be independent of the police department. As a career prosecutor, I can tell you that I have personally taught at police academies. I have personally sat with victims of violent crime. I have personally prosecuted cases in courtrooms. And it is essential for me to be able to do my job that each police officer I am in contact with completely understands, knows, and respects each of our constitutional rights under the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment. And if they do not, I cannot do my job. It is therefore incumbent on me to make sure that the police department is trained and put a lot of resources into doing that. We've not seen that under the current administration because, again, there's an essentially no understanding of what it means to do the job.
Excuse me.
Hold on. Just let her complete.
How long
and then,
do we go on
well,
here?
I think, actually, I think 50, she has 50. Gone on for the one-minute time. So we'll get a one-minute response from you, and then I'll go to the next question for Kamala Harris.
I don't think it's that bad that the police department regard the district attorney as somebody they want to approach cautiously. That is to say, I think the police department should be aware that if they commit a criminal offense, this district attorney's office is not going to wash their hands of it as a lot of other district attorney's offices do, but we're going to insist that the police adhere to the law as well.
But you've heard it characterized as a hostile relationship between your office and the police.
I don't think there's a hostile, there's definitely not a hostile relationship between my office and the police at the courtroom level. DAs and the police work fine together. We're all there for the same purpose. We want to put the bad guys away. We want to win cases, and that happens. It is true at maybe the highest level. I mean, I have the chief's son under indictment for a serious felony. He's now been held to answer for a strike charge. I have other police officers under charges as well. And as I say, there's a little bit of tension, but I don't even notice that. I get along fine with them, and I do work with the brass. I do talk to them. I do try to instruct them on, don't go around Miranda. If the person says they don't want to make a statement, you got to stop questioning them. You can't use these devices to defeat the purpose of the law.
All right, I've got a listener question for Kamala Harris. Chance, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a quick observation and comment. Throughout this debate, Mr. Hallinan seems to have address all the issues with specific examples, specific statistics and numbers, and the ways in which he goes about to remedy these problems, whereas the challenger seems to keep bringing up various generalities and not really getting specific to the point. So in my estimation, and I really had no prior knowledge of either of these candidates, he's winning the debate from an intellectual perspective, and as for the challenger, I would just like to recommend that she be more specific.
What would you like her to be specific about, and perhaps she can do that for you?
Well, countless times, she said, we need a district attorney who will be more professional and who will take this seriously and who will get the job done, and not really give specific examples about what to do, exactly what she would do. And so really nothing that she said thus far.
So you didn't hear her when she talked about an office of integrity and when she talked about proposals along those lines?
That's what he's saying, generalities.
It's easy to say an office of integrity, but what exactly, precisely, what actions would you take? Whereas Mr. Hallinan seems to have done that more throughout the debate as far as saying, well—
All right, you're repeating yourself here. Let's hear from Kamala Harris. Specifics, if you will.
Sure, and I hope you'll give me enough time.
2 minutes.
There are
got.
Many.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, as it relates, and thank you, Chance. I'm happy to have this opportunity to give you more detail. And I also welcome you to look at my website, which is www.kamalaharris.org, where I have been maintaining for many months specific programs and policies that I will put in place when, if fortunate enough, I become the next district attorney of San Francisco. As it relates to the professionalism of the office, I'm sure you'd be surprised to know, and probably disappointed to know, that not every lawyer in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office has a computer. This is an office of lawyers who make the decision about whether or not you could go to jail. And they do not have computers. There is no specific training program in place in the San Francisco DA's office, which I will institute immediately, which will require weekly training sessions of each of the attorneys on the evidence code, for example, on trial practices. You may know that in my background I have been a professor at Hastings, both Stanford Law Schools. I've been on the faculty of the National Institutes of Trial Advocacy, and I've been very actively involved in my profession. I believe it's very important that the administrator of a law office take as a priority training the lawyers in that office to do the best work they can. Next, I will immediately, when I get into that office, do a full-scale audit of the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, both financial and performance. You may not know, but one of my concerns about the office is that there's no filing system. As evidenced most recently, when the Elbert Flowers case came up, which was a horrible case involving a domestic violence act where a man stabbed a woman several times, the case was then given credit for time served by the district attorney's office, and the same person then was out on the streets and tortured another woman. When asked about what happened, the office couldn't find the file because there is no filing system. There's no accountability in San Francisco DA's office because there's no tracking system. Another other thing that I will do is institute a computerized tracking system, which will, at its impetus, require each attorney to report the number of cases they have, the charges on those cases, and the length of time that those cases have been sitting in the office, and I will deal with those immediately. As it relates to the police department, I will assign one lawyer in particular who will be responsible for training the police department, and specifically the training will involve weekly updates to patrol officers informing them of what the courts are saying on a weekly basis about what they may and may not do, for example, when they stop you for a broken taillight on your car and want
to
search your trunk.
In addition, you can mention some of this.
Office. It's true that we don't have computers for everybody, but that has to do with the facilities at the Hall of Justice. I was told if everybody had a computer, we'd blow out all the fuses at the Hall of Justice. We do have training programs. Every other Friday is a mandatory training program. We're an MCLE provider. Of course, we have to provide a certain number of hours of training for everybody in the office. We have one of the best and well-trained offices in the state of California. And it is true we have a problem with room for files in the Hall of Justice as a whole. The cafeteria was taken over by the police department for filing. The parking lot was taken over by City Tow for cars. We're squeezed down there, but we do what we do. And we didn't lose the file in the Albert Flowers case. We have the file in the Albert Flowers case. And what happened with the Albert Flowers case is it went through the proper procedures. But what turned out is that instead of being facing the rest of his life in prison then, he's facing the rest of his life in prison right now.
All right. We're going to be as tight as we can on the time left. We've only got, as a crow flies, about 6 minutes, and I wanted to give each candidate an opportunity to wrap up and make a final statement here. We have time for one more call, though, and let's try to get it quickly from you, Rick, on a cell phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. This will be fairly quick. I see in the paper this morning that Ms. Harris has raised more than $600,000 and Mr. Hallinan approximately $250,000. Now, I'm sympathetic to what Kamala just said about throwing politics in the can, but this is a lot of money for a local race for a nonpartisan public servant position. And I wonder if real quick I might be able to ask a fairly blunt question and get a blunt answer. What is in it for each of you that you want to spend this money? And, you know, I really would prefer not to hear a political answer. Why does this cost so much, and why are you willing to spend so much?
So why do you want to be DA, and why are you putting such deep pocket behind it? Terrence Hallinan, let's begin with you.
Well, the office costs money to run. We do benefits. We collect from people who support us, and we run a campaign for it. It's true. I can't match the money that my opponent has raised, that Willie Brown has raised for her. I ask, what is his interest in controlling the district attorney's office after he leaves office? But this is an important office. There's no question about it. The district attorney's office is perhaps the most important office in the city, certainly on a parallel with the mayor. You can make huge differences in people's life. You have huge policy decisions to make that affect everybody in the city. So it's not surprising that my supporters and her supporters are willing to put up money and do everything they can to elect us, because there is a huge difference between the two of us.
Implied in the question is, are you in this entirely for the public servant role? And I guess maybe Kamala Harris, you can pick up on that.
Sure, Rick, and thank you for your question. I am proud to say that I have received the support of a lot of people in our city, and if you take a look at where it's coming from every zip code in the city and county of San Francisco. We have over 2,000 people who have donated to my campaign because they believe in the possibility of having change that reflects the need for professional leadership of the district attorney's office. I'll tell you, in terms of my background, I grew up in the 60s in Berkeley, in the heart of the civil rights movement, around family and a community that were actively involved in fighting for civil rights and fighting for this thing we call justice. When out of Hastings Law School, I made the decision to become a prosecutor. I made that decision very consciously. And I made that decision recognizing that it is through the criminal justice system and law enforcement that some of the most vulnerable people in our communities are impacted. Those people being women, children, people of color, immigrants, and people who have been victimized by crime. And I take the job and the responsibility very seriously. And when I see that in our city, we have a district attorney's office that has failed to perform the essential responsibilities and duties of that office, which was designed to make sure that people can be safe and also make sure that people who come in, who are young people through the juvenile justice system, who are capable of rehabilitation, and they're not in our city being given the resources they need for rehabilitation.
This district attorney's office does
need jobs. Hold on a second. We've come to the point where I'm going to ask each of you for one moment. I'm going to keep you tight to the clock if I can. 1 minute to sum up. And Kamala, you got some you have to stick to 1 minute here, I'm sorry to say. Kamala Harris, let's begin with you.
Sure. I thank you, Michael, and your listeners for being interested in this race. The district attorney's office is a very important office, and we need in San Francisco change. As you will see, looking at my campaign and the way we have been progressing through this process, it has been a campaign about building coalitions. In my campaign, you will see that not only have I been endorsed, as I've said earlier, by every legal organization that has endorsed in the DA's race, we've been supported by everyone from the African American Democratic Club to the Filipino Empowerment Council to the Alice B. Toklas LGBT Club. There is a great deal of concern that our DA's office is not working, and the concern spreads across the board. It spreads to those people like Esther Soler, who is the person who created the Family Violence Prevention Fund and represents a lot of people who are concerned about the empowerment of victims and survivors of domestic violence. The support ranges to people like Ruth Jackson, who are mothers in the Bayview who are concerned about the fact that there's no consequence for the homicides that happen in that community.
The district attorney's office is judged by how they do in terms of public safety. My job is a very complicated situation in which simple convictions or diversions or anything else is not the solution, but you have to find a balance there. And the bottom line is that since I took office, crime in San Francisco is down 50%. Violent crime is down 60%. Juvenile crime is down 44%. Juvenile homicides are down 85%. Any way you look at it, we now live in one of the safest big cities in America. And I do believe, I can't take 100% of the credit for it, but I do believe my policies of being tough on violent crime and utilizing diversions for nonviolent offenders to get them out of the criminal justice system, not just putting them in the revolving door of incarceration, is the key to the success we've had in San Francisco of bringing the crime rate down and making our streets safe.
Thank you to both of you. Good luck to both of you. May the best of you win. Appreciate you both being here. Next hour, all about Margaret Mead and Ruth Benedict. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.